We're having some technical difficulties this morning, or by technical difficulties, Pastor Brian is a little bit off. What's up, everybody? Now? Yeah, we're on. You know, Pastor Brian, again, you're not a guest. You are a part of the show. But as part of the show, you know, it's been one of the things we're hitting. We are definitely in fall. It's been nice fall weather as of late. But I know a common question we always ask Pastor Dan is what is his favorite season and what does he like? What does rainy weather look like for him and all that? But we had some stormy weather the other day and you were actually off. So what was your day, or what's your favorite season, and what does a rainy day look like for you?
Yeah. Rainy day. I love the rain. I love being home in the rain.
Yeah.
I think, this last rain that we got, sat out in my jacuzzi and enjoyed the rain, the cold weather. I love it. I love when it cools off. I hate the heat.
Yeah.
You know, California, we have, what, two seasons here?
Hot and hotter?
Yeah. So I love when it cools off. So yeah. When it starts to get fall, that's my jam right there. Yeah. That's where I want to get the bike out and I want to go for a ride.
Yeah. And you mean hardly. I mean, yeah. You're not talking road bike here.
Is there another kind?
Yeah. If you're a road biker, go ahead and leave it in the comments.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast, everybody. We are so glad you are here with us today. We are excited about today's conversation. Want to encourage you to stay tuned all the way through. We're going to talk about biblical friendship. We're going to talk about what that looks like, healthy relationships, friendships. Not that we are the friendship or relationship experts, but we've learned some things in our years of friendships, communicating, personality types, right? And we can see things in scripture lined out as well. So, any thoughts starting off?
Yeah, no, I think, it's funny, being a Christian, you do learn how important relationships are and having good godly friendships. Mm-hmm. For some of us, that doesn't come easy and it doesn't come natural. I've spent the majority of my life building walls to protect myself for whatever reason. And I think even being a natural introvert, funny being in ministry and you're around a bunch of people all the time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely a challenge that you have to overcome, but you do see the value in having good godly relationships. You know, we've talked about on the show, our friendship and how it's grown. And even, I don't know, maybe we'll even get into how that even started at one point. But, I see such value in your friendship and the relationships that we have, because, you know, we all have hard days. We all need to be encouraged. We all need to be put in check at times. We all need to be able to talk through things, and especially people that think differently than we do, you know.
Well, we can go into that, because that does speak to kind of what we're talking about. I know that, you and I had been colleagues, peers, coworkers for quite some time. I mean, we always got along. But I know that we hit I think it's perfect because it's an example of what we're seeing now, right? Unfortunately, in modern times, we see that when someone has a disagreement with you about something, it's almost like it's like a relationship killer. Right. Where, I mean, these are my bullet points. If you don't think the same way. And I think we've made minor things essentials to being able to be, where it used to just be like, hey, we love Jesus. We're guys, we're gals, you know, there was like, hey, the level of our standards of, hey, what it would take for us to at least be cordial and get along has so lowered. It's almost like you need to fill out this 100 question form just to be in my phone book, you know. Yeah. Like we've just made it very difficult to have any relationships, and we can sustain them because I didn't even plan on this. It really can roll into our own personal mental health and wellness, because God did design us for a relationship, but yet we're adding all these complexities in what it takes to actually have deep relationships. And like you're saying, it almost makes me wonder if people are doing it as a way to build more walls and justify this wall building around their personality types.
I definitely feel that there's a lot of that. I often ask myself, and I know, you know, I've had to overcome a lot of things from my past. And, when God started to reveal to me why I felt that I needed to protect myself so much from being hurt, It definitely shared some freedoms in why I am the way that I am in some aspects, right? However, I just because I realize it now doesn't mean that it doesn't ever try to creep up or become an issue again. And especially when, you know, again, being an introvert naturally, right? And so something happens, somebody offends me, instantly I go into building mode. It's like, you know, it's like I want to build walls. And I have to remind myself, or my lovely wife has to remind me, you know, you're not allowed to do that. Because, I mean, one little thing can happen. I'm like, clear the calendar. We have no friends. I'm never leaving the house again. And, you know, she has, like, we can't do life that way. Yeah. And, you know, and it is. It's a, there's a natural thing to that. You know, Pastor, you're extrovert, right? You love being around people.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about when the house went for sale next door to me, and it's like, and then I remember that you always had people over to your house. I'm like, never mind, you can't buy that house. As much as I want to be your neighbor, I don't want everybody from the church over all the time. So, love you guys.
That's funny. Never, no, you have too many people over. Never.
Yeah,
they'd come over. I'd be like, hey guys, let's go over Pastor Brian's house.
He's got a pool. We'll sit in the jacuzzi.
Yeah. There you go. Well, actually, so take us back, because I'd love to hear kind of the story from your perspective. Not that we want to make the episode about us or our friendship specifically, but I think we can pull some nuggets out just from our experiences that I think will relate to people and in a way that we can all learn from and grow from.
You know, so I feel like definitely, you know, we had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, it's having conversation about some things that my daughter's going through and things that I'm praying about. And, you know, Pastor Antonio, I think one of the things that are necessity to a good, healthy relationship is being open-minded, right? Mm-hmm. And letting down our insecurities, things that are preconceived notions. Like you said, making sure that they check all the boxes. One of the reasons why I love to bring things to you is because you think so much differently than me when it comes to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to, I know through things with your family, things with my family, walk each other through different mm-hmm. concepts, different ways of thinking. And even yesterday, it's like I have my way of doing things, but I bring my challenges to you because I don't want somebody to just solidify my perspective. Right. I want to be open-minded. I want to be able to pray through things. I want to be able to see things through a different side so that I could go to God and with the full picture and figure out what he wants. Because what will happen is I think sometimes we'll focus so much on what we want that it's all we'll hear.
Yeah.
And so even in our prayer time, we're praying a specific way, asking God to just deliver what we think and what we feel. And then when that doesn't happen, we treat God like we do our friends, and we're ready to move on because he doesn't think like us.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what makes a good, healthy relationship, friendship so good, is that you can have these difference of opinions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, obviously all the conversations surround around God and bring you back to God.
Yeah.
But they're not always going to look the same, right?
Well, I think that's the important qualifier, right? Like I know... you know, you mentioned we approach things differently, but the common ground is, though, we are believers.
Yeah.
Right. So we would never suggest that anybody go get life advice from a non-believer. Not that you can't befriend a non-believer, maybe a coworker, a family member. But when you're talking about the open-mindedness, you're assuming that the standard ground there is we are followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that's the establishment of like, because I'm not opening my mind to a non-believer that's going to try to put other junk in there. Right. But
absolutely.
We're safe, assuming, hey, we're amongst brothers, we're amongst our brothers and sisters here, then we can say, hey, what am I not seeing? And like you said, you and I approach our decisions differently. And so because we can do that, I know in the same way, I like going to you because you'll challenge my thought. And I can come to you knowing, man, Pastor Brian lives by his convictions. So when you land, I want that security, right? So if I'm not seeing something, it's funny because if we just live in a place where we want to be in a vacuum or a bubble where everything is just co-signed, hey, let me go to someone who's just going to affirm what I'm already thinking.
Yeah.
And that's the natural tendency. And that's what we're doing, though. We're living in silos in our lives, in our worlds, and then no one's challenging us. So we live in our silos, we land on a conclusion, and then everyone around us affirms that conclusion, and then we just think we're hunky-dory.
Yeah.
But then we've never, then that's when we come even to other believers or other people in the church, and we're butting heads because we've already built our whole belief system with the limited point of view.
Yeah.
And so that's the benefit, I think, of our friendship, where we again, different families of origins, different way, different culture, different what, call it what you will. I mean, I think we're the same generation. Although, are you Gen X?
I am Gen X.
Okay. I'm a, what they call a geriatric millennial, which is like at the top of the millennial. Which sometimes I feel like I'm Gen X because I can't always relate to all the millennial stuff.
Yeah.
I definitely can't relate to most Gen Z things. But I have a sibling who's Gen X, and so sometimes I'm like, well, we kind of get lumped in sometimes.
Yeah. You know?
But anyways, so we have different points of views, but our foundation is scripture. Our foundation is, you know, we serve in God's house. We believe that we want to not just do what's best for us and then add God on top of it. I think that's an important thing, too, that we come, we try to get God's plan for our life and then live it out versus make our plans and then ask God to bless it.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important thing, too, that when we're entering our relationships, albeit people from different cultures, again, you can be coming from different sides of the tracks, different ways of life. But there is hope in Jesus, and there is hope in creating relationships, and it just adds beauty to our lives.
Absolutely.
And I know I've been enriched by your friendship in many ways, not just because of our cultural differences, but just because of the challenges and the brushing up. And I mean, who knows how many, only Angelina will be able to tell me, like, well, I was talking to Pastor Brian. And she, I mean, who knows? But to me, that doesn't embarrass me because I'm like, that's what iron is supposed to sharpen iron.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have gifts of friendship, of people who will sharpen us. And again, for iron to sharpen iron, it has to strike each other.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it can create sparks. Not that sparks fly when we talk or anything like that. But right. Like, but we're doing that with each other, and we're giving each other alternative perspectives. And then I enjoy a friendship that doesn't have to have so many qualifiers.
Yeah.
You know, do you ever just feel like get tired of like always having to, oh, let me tell you what I don't mean. There's just safety.
Yeah.
Right. And I could imagine in today's world, the weight of just like you're double talking. And if you don't like to talk already anyways, then you'll X out conversations if you're qualifying every statement. Oh, no, I didn't mean it like that. But when there's safety in a friendship, you know, and then you don't have to waste so much time saying, oh, like, you know, eggshells around people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's funny. It's I think a lot of times when there are a lot of challenges in relationships and we have trouble in keeping relationships, I do think that there has to be some interperspective. Is that right?
Yeah. Introspective. Yeah.
Introspective. There you go. See, some people are smarter than others, you know, when it comes to things like this, because why is this so offensive to me? Why am I having such a challenge with what you're saying? Why when you don't think, and a lot of it does boil down to our own insecurities, our own problems, you know, if you think differently than I do, like you said, it doesn't make me feel any less of a man.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make me feel any less informed. I mean, I celebrate the areas that you're stronger in. I celebrate the differences that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was actually having a conversation with Adam this morning about even my son. And I remember when he turned 18, he was going through some challenges and there was no way I could get through to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if he would have talked to anybody who thought like me, he would have shut down completely. But my son needed godly guidance. Mm-hmm. And I remember coming like, man, can you please just reach out to my boy and make sure he's okay and open up some dialogue with him. And, you know, it was so freeing to me to know that I had somebody that I loved, that I trusted, that I knew had my best interest, my son's best interest, not trying to navigate. And the funny thing is, I knew some of the advice you were going to give him was going to be different than what I would give him.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that you would do it because you cared about his interests as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And everything about it was going to be. And again, I think going back to the foundation of biblical truth. Right. And what you felt, you spent time in prayer before these meetings, you knew my boy already being young adults pastor and things that you've talked to him about. And so I knew that there was a trust there. And I think that's it's so important because, man, can you imagine a world full of me?
Right.
That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's only one world. God's like, all right, that's enough. And so, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like we want everybody, you know, to think like us until they do, right? Mm-hmm. And we realize how boring this world could look. Yeah. And I think that that's where it we do help each other in the ways that we think, the way that we can communicate. Hey, I'm going through this one challenge. How can I approach this? Mm-hmm. Right? Here's what I'm thinking. I mean, we've even, like, I know when I've gotten offended at something that somebody said, like, let me lay this out for you and tell me, like, am I reading too much into this? Yeah. And you walk me through, like, yeah, I don't think I took it that way. I don't think I saw it that way. Maybe you could look at it through this perspective. And it allows me to settle down, mm-hmm. right? And look at things through the eyes of the Lord, right? And say, you know, I'm not going to, again, enter into this based on an offense, based on how I feel. But I can do this with an open mind. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, just it's so important that we have, you know, good, godly relationships. And you know, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, we made plans. We went and played, you know, for my birthday, played mm-hmm. pickleball. Mm-hmm. And I literally was trying to talk myself out of hanging out, like, and not because I don't want to be with you. It's like the anxiety. It's weird. Mm-hmm. Like of being
social
around
anxieties,
social
yeah.
anxiety, right?
Yeah.
People. And you know, I've had Pastor Jessica tell me, she's like, you are not an introvert. It's like, look, you guys see a certain side of me here. You don't know how I go home. Right. It's like, I'm done.
Well, by definition, introvert and extrovert, just for the, I mean, not that we're psychologists or professionals anyway, but from what I understand, the introvert and extrovert more speaks to not whether or not, you know, like, they're able to talk to people. Because I think we think extrovert, they'll be bubbly. An introvert can be bubbly, but then when they're not around people, they go home and crash out because it just literally just drained their battery. Yeah. Whereas if an extrovert oftentimes is refreshed or recharged around people, whereas an introvert is like, I'll psych myself up. Like, you have to psych yourself up to go be around people. Then you go around people and everyone, like,
I had a blast.
No one would have known the wiser. Yeah. But then you get home and you're like, wow, that was drained.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I do want to say something, Pastor Brown, because you're talking a lot, you know, giving other people credit for it. But I think we don't want to miss what your part in that is opening up, because a lot of people are not open to even that. The ability to ask the questions, to say, hey, chasing me, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, because most people don't do that. They're not willing to, but that shows your integrity and humility. And again, this is not us ramping each other up. And I want to get to a practical part of this, because I think, again, there are lessons from what we've seen, and not that we always get it right, but when you are willing to ask a question, because, you know, we could land on, well, I'm my position, or I don't want to be vulnerable. And if I ask somebody, then everyone will know that I don't know what I'm doing, you know, cause there's this answer. Yeah. Like, I need to know what I can't look like I don't know what's talking about. Or am I not confident? And I get this from Christ. And again, but that is where the element of opening up our lives to asking a question, to being vulnerable, to see, cause what you were doing is you had an emotion from a conversation. You knew there was other witnesses, me or other people in that room. And because you don't like how you feel, your emotional and spiritual intelligence is saying you could just be mad at that person, but you don't want that because you fear God.
Yeah.
And so that, I think these are the things that we all need to do. Instead of just getting charged and then making a decision, we go, okay, let me bring in other people that were in that room. Hey, am I seeing this weird? Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And we've walked through a lot of that together before, but that's what we can all do. We can all have the spiritual intelligence to say, wait, I want to give people the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to live in this emotion. I don't want to be angry with people. I don't want to assume the worst. And so now we ask other people in the room, or maybe you have that friend that you call. You know, sometimes on that commute, you have that person you call. Like, let that conversation, whether it's dysregulation mm-hmm. or you're just kind of airing it out to them, allow them to speak into your life. Because sometimes you're like, oh yeah, I needed someone to hear me out. Yeah. But you have no real intention of allowing them to speak into your life.
You know, it's funny. I think one of the biggest challenges is the enemy does a really good job at making us feel like we're the only one with frailty in the world.
Mm, that's good.
And so I think that's like when you know, we feel this way and we're like, like you had mentioned, I don't want to be exposed that I don't have it all figured out. When the fact of the matter is, none of us have it all figured out, right? Mm. So I think the quicker we can come under that understanding that you're going to have emotions just like I'm going to have emotions. Everybody in the room is going to have emotions. we're all thinking something. I don't have, you know, I'm going to feel insecure at times. I'm going to get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
And I have to be secure in the fact that I don't know everything. Right. And then in that, it's, you know, cause again, I don't know if I've shared this on the, before, but my life scripture is, Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12 through 13. And it's like, Paul, here's like, you know, obviously, the fact that I have salvation, but I'm not there yet. Right. Not that I have attained, but that I may attain. So I press on to the onward call of God. I have all of these things that I could talk about from my past, but none of that means anything. As long as I'm still here, I got to grow.
Yeah.
Right. I got work to do. I got to continue to refine, this process while I'm here on earth so that I can obtain, right? Yeah. It's like Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so knowing that I'm far from perfect and knowing that, you know, there are so many, and I have to be secure with that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, again, I think sometimes we look, people are posting on social media and it's like, you see one person going on vacation, they're playing ball with their kids. Mm-hmm. And now in my mind, I'm the only bad dad in the world that doesn't enjoy playing ball with my kids all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what the enemy does, right?
Yeah.
And so I go through life thinking, oh, I'm a bad father. I'm a bad husband because everybody's like holding hands. And I'm like, I don't want to hold hands, right? I get claustrophobic. Yeah, I feel weird.
Yeah.
Like, you know, shout out to my wife because she puts up with me. But that's the reality. And so the enemy does, again, a really good job because of social media, because of the things that we see. Mm-hmm. Everybody puts their best church face on when they come to church. Blessed and highly favored by the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
Everything's great. How are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. And we're good. Right. But the fact of the matter is my bank account's empty and I'm struggling. And I was in prayer as I'm trying to balance my checkbook before I came to church. And so when we can come under the understanding, like, look, we're all making it through life together, trusting in God, standing in faith, believing him. And we're there for one another. You look at Paul. He says, hey, bring Mark. He's useful to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. When he's talking about here, he's saying this guy is going. I'm in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think he's not having a bad day? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm in prison. Right. I need encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I need somebody to come speak into my life and be there for me. And, you know, help me get through. You look at Paul and Silas. Is there, like, who started singing in prison? You know what I mean? Like, who was the one that's like, dude, this is horrible. Yeah. I can't believe that we're here. And it's just like, Father Abraham. Like, they just started going for it. Praises.
One's, you know, beatboxing. The other one's snapping and clapping. And the other one's starting to.
And next thing you know, they're singing praises. Yeah. Chains fall off.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Hey, should we get out of here? Nah, man, this prison guard's going to kill himself. We need to make sure he and his family get saved. Right. Like, think about the fact that they're together, able to do that. Mm-hmm. And what does it look like when they're on their own? And I think that's where, you know, I'm always encouraged. Like, I know that my flesh, and it's my flesh that wants me to be by myself, that wants me to be isolated, that wants me to be off to the side, that wants me to feel like I could do life by myself. That is my flesh.
Yeah.
But I know that that's not how God's called me to do. And I've seen the fruit of that.
Right.
You know, I've seen the fruit of trying to do everything. And I am a kind of like, get out of my way, let me handle this.
Yeah.
And I'll get it done kind of guy. But I can't do life that way.
Right.
Because there is, especially when the older you get, the more you realize.
Yeah,
I need some help, man. This.
Well, I want to frame this because you're on a great point. I want to ask you a question. I want to frame this because we started off the conversation again, kind of talking about silos and bubbles. Well, I don't want to be ignorant to the fact that you and I mean, we work in a church.
Yeah.
You know, you and I are pastors. We are around other pastors and spiritual leaders and spiritually mature people. So someone could look at us like, well, it's easy for you to go to your coworker. I mean, you basically can have a walk-in spiritual guidance anytime you want, right? It's easy for, you know, you're supposedly spiritually mature people around. Like, so granted, let's zoom out and let's kind of give a perspective to maybe someone who doesn't have, who is not working in a setting with other believers. Or maybe they're, you know, I hate to use the word toxic so much, but their workplace is a little bit, it's tougher, it's rough, where, you know, people, it's not like people are hanging out at lunch or they're cussing each other out, you know, where there is a struggle of frustrations they're having, finding a place to have some of these safe conversations that you and I, they were just kind of in front of us versus whereas people who have to seek them out. But you're kind of in this vein here. You are, I mean, you're this Harley guy, you're a macho guy, you know, you can be rough, but anyone that knows you're also a very sensitive person and you don't hide that, right? Whether it's you're crying when you're preaching, as you share your testimony, you're kneeling down at the altar in worship, these beautiful expressions of this other side of you. So now someone, how would we kind of walk someone through maybe wondering if they can relate to that? And then how do they walk through either identifying solid friendships, or I think sometimes what we can do is we can identify our personality traits and then convince ourselves of how there's no one else like us, right?
Yeah.
But what would you, how would you kind of guide that person?
You know, I
that?
Think first of all, in finding friendships, you know, you have to always, I know for me personally, I'm always looking at motives, and part of that's because, you know, I put walls up. So mm-hmm. it's like, why do you want to be my friend, or why do you want, you know, but I do think that you will find people in your life that just genuinely care about you. Right. Mm-hmm. And, what you do is you begin to open up and realize, like, don't be afraid to put yourself out there. You know, it's funny. One of my closest friends, Jacob Webb, mm-hmm.
We love Jacob. Shout out, Jacob.
Yeah, shout out to Jacob. If you don't stream this, then we're not as close as I thought. But, you know, one of the things that like the other day he reached out and he was like, hey, we haven't hung out in a long time. Can we just go grab some lunch? Mm-hmm. And so we did. We went and got lunch and you know, he works at a different place. And we just went and we caught up on family. We caught up on work, we caught up on different things, and just had really good conversation. He shared some stuff with me that he's going through, and again, it's funny. It's like he's got a son who's growing up. He's 15 years old. You know, I got my son's 22 now, so I can relate to some of the stuff mm-hmm. that he's feeling, mm-hmm. Preparing him for stuff that he's gonna feel. You know, and there's things that we can talk through. You know, and I think that's the beauty of these relationships. And I think it's just understanding, look, there are going to be people that are going to take advantage of you and hurt you. Mm-hmm. Right. That's just the reality. Like we're in this broken world, mm-hmm. fallen world, whatever. And so you're going to feel like I've had lots of people in my life that I thought I can trust. And again, realized real quickly that I couldn't. Yeah. And that's where the walls start to come up. But see, I can't stop there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, like, again, you look at Paul, and he'll go through a list of all of the people that are no longer doing ministry with them. It's like, yeah, so-and-so, he's off doing this now because he loved the world more than he loved me, than he loved God.
Yeah.
Like, all these people that that's why he's asking for Mark. Like, send Mark, because mm-hmm. everybody else has abandoned me. I'm all alone, right? I've been doing life, all these people I put trust in, and I realize now, like, they're not here, so should I just sit in prison and pout? And realize, like, God, are you even there? Mm-hmm. No, I'm gonna call out for somebody that I know that's gonna encourage me, that's gonna come help me, and realize that even though I've been hurt by all these other people, I still need to do life with someone. And so I'm gonna call for Mark, right? And I think that's where we can look and say, you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah.
There are gonna be people. I mean, even working at a church, there are people that I've had relationships with that I no longer have relationships with over time, that no longer work here. And that's just the way that it's going to be, right? People come into your life and they're out. But I can't allow that to affect how I do life in the future. And I think, you know, we have to be willing to put ourselves out there. We have to be willing to get hurt, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Judas was one of Jesus' closest confidants. Yeah. you know what I mean? Like, traveled with, like, there was 12.
Yeah.
He had 12 people that he led into his his world.
Yeah.
And one of them betrayed him.
Well, I know it sounds self-serving, being that I'm a small groups pastor, but, you know, the relationships are, in fact, you know, my official title is kind of stems from the relationship pillar at our church. One of the foundations of our church is godly relationships. So one of my jobs of that is identifying and facilitating ways for people to find godly relationships.
Yeah.
And so we're always trying to think of new ways to do that in our context in San Bernardino. Does that look like groups? Does that look like serving? What does that look like? So that's part of the challenge that I work through. But in talking to people and even in studies, I mean, we're finding out that this is a lonely generation, or this is just a lonely time where people are lonelier than ever. And so they are looking. But I can't. It's easy to say, well, then just go be around people. But I think that's where some of the restorative process needs to take place for people to bring down these walls. And that's why conversations like this are really important, because we can walk people, you know, help people, challenge them to, like, dude, we have to get over ourselves. We have to be willing to put ourselves out there. This is stuff that we people don't want to hear, because it's just kind of like everything else. We want to be able to press the friend button and act like that's going to be the unlonely button. Or just like you press follow, that's going to make me unlonely.
It's like when you get married, right? You're never going to fight anymore.
Right. Well, you know, so they're finding that this with AI, these numbers are coming out, Pastor Brian. People are having relationships with their chatbot. And it's sad, but it's also a very real reality, because the chatbot's gonna do whatever you want, you know, and make you feel less lonely. You didn't have to do anything. So I'm not trying to insult anyone that has maybe gone that route. What I'm saying though is, let's walk people and equip them. The Bible talks about that He places the lonely in family. So if you are feeling lonely, if you are struggling in this area, well, God will place you in family. And guess what? The family He's talking about is the family of God, which is the church of God. And whether it's this church, if you're local, or another local body, maybe, you know, that's why I appreciate that there are different strokes for different folks, right? Maybe you want a smaller, more intimate church, or you like church with more liturgy, and you maybe a more traditional denomination or something like that. Man, there's plenty of churches, plenty of local church bodies that are God's family for us, where we can not be lonely, where we can, but it's still, you know, it's great to walk up and, hey, there are, you know, we have sign holders that are going to, but you're not going to be their best friend day one.
Yeah.
Right. But it does take some stepping out. It does take some breaking down those walls, but we do all that in faith. And the fruit of those things are going to be having beautiful friendships. Like, and then let's not underestimate just praying. God, give me friends.
Yeah.
How many times have we, I mean, as parents, we've prayed in friends for our children, and guess what? We've prayed out friends for our children.
Yeah.
So in the same way as adults, we want to have godly friendships. We want to have friendships. Now, sometimes that looks like starting in our workplace. And sometimes, you know, I don't want to start in my workplace with these friendships, right? I go in, I clock out. Well, hey, praise God. But there are friendships. Loneliness is not your end, is not the end for you. There's a church, there's a family, there are friends, and ask God to open up those doors. And I think we walk through today some of just the natural things that will have to happen, the mental walls that will break down. And we didn't even really get to talk about the personality types of introvert and extrovert too much, about how they can still walking through tensions, walking through different viewpoints. But all that, I mean, God takes care of.
You know, one thing before we wrap up, I just want to mention, you know, I think one of the things that you hear too, because like you said, different flavors for everybody, right? And so you have like a big church. Sometimes we like big churches because, you know, it's like the little churches, everything's so intimate. Everybody knows everything about you. So I just want to come to church and get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side of, that you always hear, where people will say, it's just like, oh, it's such a big church, I can't connect with anybody. Right. It's just everybody has their cliques and everybody has their groups and everybody. But see, again, that's the lie from the enemy, because what we do is we isolate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We find ourselves where we see someone and it's like, oh, that person won't talk to me if I go over to them. So fear of rejection keeps me from ever building up a relationship, when the reality is there are so many people, like you said, small groups. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Even I joined recently the motorcycle small group here at the church. Can I make every single one of them? No, but I try, right? And for what? Just because, you know, riding a, there's a lot of ungodly people out there riding motorcycles, and I don't have anybody to go ride with, right? But if I can build a relationship, do something that I love with somebody else that has a like kind of faith and a like kind of love and passion for the things that I have, then we can start building relationships. And I think that's where we can't be so afraid to go up and shake someone's hand, say hi, introduce ourselves. You know, the fear of rejection. People, when you come to church, they're not looking to turn you down, right? They're not looking to not shake your hand or not say hi to you, right? The enemy wants us to think that and think everybody comes here just so they could be away from everybody.
Yeah.
But I just want to encourage anybody that's out there that doesn't have godly relationships that comes to church, make a friend be willing to put yourself out there. Join a small group. Get involved in a ministry. You know, volunteering is a great way to build relationships. Mm-hmm. And so getting involved in something that you find somebody else that has a like-minded interest, and all of a sudden you start to see that you have more in common with people than you thought. Because again, the enemy wants to make you feel like you're the only one that thinks this way, that you're the only one that feels this way. And as long as he can keep you isolated, eventually you're out of the church and you're not serving God anymore.
Well, yesterday, here's a hack. I found a new way to make a friend. You know, you're in line picking up your kids at service. The person, I mean, there's someone in front of you, there's someone behind you. you're obviously your kids are the same age. You're in line to pick them up from the same classroom. And I was in line and someone, hey, were you at the soccer fields on Saturday? Like, oh, yeah, I coach. He's like, oh, I was like, oh, your son's in my daughter's class. You know, like it's really easy. You break the ice like, hey, I saw you out in the town. And it was just a really and you exchange numbers or you get to know each other. I remember his name. His name was the same name as my name. So it was just kind of like, oh, great. That's awesome. And so there are these little hacks, again, in the church world or wherever it is. Maybe you are on the soccer field. There are places to meet people. It's not as hard as we try to make it seem.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, it's been a great conversation, and I think we need to have a part two. Maybe we'll have I have some ideas on a part two here, so we can keep this going. I know relationships are a big deal. We love you guys so much. God bless you. As always, like, comment, subscribe, share, encourage somebody else with this. If this has encouraged you, man, let us know. We love your encouragement. Comment, share it with somebody. God bless you guys.
God bless you guys.